Coming up next to the stage, this young lady we did a show with. So our podcast year, it's not like the calendar year. It goes from November to October. So she was in the first podcast of our podcast year, which I actually missed, sadly. Jim filled in for me. And everyone, when I talked to them about how did the show go, they said, you have to hear this story about a manatee. And fortunately, she has come back to tell a new story. This is Stephanie Spence.
Really cool of you guys to invite me back again after I told kind of a heinous story. It's like maybe good that you missed it. It's good, you guys. It's good. I feel like you're probably psychologically better off like having not heard that story if you weren't here. But I have a different story today. So last year I got upgraded to the adults table at Christmas. And I feel like this is a universal experience, right? Like, there's, you know, you have a table where the 7-year-olds sit and, like, everyone, you know, under the age of 30, essentially. And then you have a table where the adults sit and they talk about adult things like politics and music. And when you get to the adult table, you get to have beer, you get to have Heineken and Manischewitz, which is really, for real, what my parents drink for Christmas. Like, I get home and they drink Manischewitz for fun. And I've tried to break them of this habit, but it's not happening. So last year, I was in the open bar, I sat with the adults, and I was like, this is great, I can't wait to, like, talk about all this cool stuff with you guys. Generally, you know, for Christmas, my whole family comes, both sides of my family, and my family is Jamaican. All of my aunts, my uncles, my parents, my grandparents are from Jamaica. And kind of the stories that they were telling that year was about how, you know, they came to America. Now, I was born here, so, you know, I was excited. I was like, all right, cool. You know, this isn't something my family talks about that often. So it was very exciting. So I poured my Manischewitz. I'm like, let's do it, you guys. Let's talk about going to America, yeah. So we need a little background because, you know, you guys don't know about my family. My mother's family came from a town in Jamaica called Linstead. And it's a very small town. And what they did there... was essentially own a tiny grocery store. They sold, like, bread and things like that, Jamaican beef patties. And they sold wine, and I use the word wine very loosely because it was essentially, like, prison wine. Like, they had a tub, and they put fruits in it and, like, you know, like, 156-proof rum, and they, like, let that sit for a little bit, and then they sold it to people. And, you know, like, this was their business. This is what they did. Which is, like, kind of devastating. And my father grew up in a tiny town, which I Googled it today to try to figure out how big it was, and Google didn't know. Google's like, what? I was like, Axe and Ads, Jamaica, how many people live there? And Google's like, lowball? 500 maybe? It's about 500 people. And I asked my dad, and he said, that sounds about right. So it's about 500 people and about like 500 goats and 500 cows. It's a small, you know, rural town and this giant mountain. And, if you grew up there, you were a farmer. She did. And if my father had stayed there, he would have been a farmer. And if my mother had stayed in Linstead, she would be a bartender and be serving prison wine. But they didn't do that. They came to America. And how it worked kind of back in the day was that you would send your oldest child, your daughter, your son, to America, and they would sponsor all of your younger siblings. So they would be there for a couple years, they'd get a job, and they'd sponsor back. And it doesn't really work like that so much anymore, but, you know, this was my parents' experience. And they were telling these stories, like, with such a feeling of joy and happiness that were difficult for me to understand and hear. And one of the stories that really stuck out to me was my oldest aunt, who came here first. She actually went to Canada first, so she was in Montreal for about a year before she moved back to America. So she flew up here, and her plane stopped in Tampa, and on the way to Montreal. And she was thirsty, and she wanted to get a drink. And this was in the 50s or 60s, like the early 60s, I think. And so she gets off, and she sees a water fountain, and she's like, great. And she goes over there, and there are two signs, and one says white, and one says color. And she kind of looks at it, and she's like, I want the white water. Like, why do I drink colored water? This is juice. Like, you know, like, brown water is disgusting. So she drinks the white water, and she gets on the plane, and she goes. And, you know, they're, like, laughing about this story, like, haha, you know, that's what's so crazy, that America. And I'm sitting there, like, I want to go back to the kids' table. I want to go back and play Yu-Gi-Oh cards with my cousins. Like, I don't know. But, you know, it wasn't a thing that they experienced in Jamaica. It's not, you know, they didn't know about America when they came here. There's no internet, there's no cat memes, there's no magazines. People didn't get mail. Like, and that was, like, really trippy for me. Like, no one in my father's town got mail. Essentially, what it would be is someone would drive up whenever they felt like it and kind of bring mail and give it to some dude who came to your house and you're like, hey, Todd, here's your National Geographic. But there was no mailbox. He just knew where you lived, and someone would write your name and the parish where you lived, and someone would bring the mail. So when they came, they were just very unaware of history. Just completely, really, they didn't know. And, you know, they told that story, and everyone's kind of laughing, and I'm like, and then my mom says, oh, Gifford is my father. She says, oh, you should tell your story. And he's kind of a quiet dude. He's like, I don't really want to tell. It's not that good. So my mom takes it upon herself to tell this great story, and I'm like, all right, this will be cool, maybe. Pour some more Heineken, let's do it. My dad came to America when he was about 18, and he came, and he was actually sponsored at the same time as two of his brothers, so they all came together as a trio, and they moved from this town of 500 people to this town of a couple million people, because where they lived was New York, and they had an apartment in the Bronx, and so you can imagine kind of landing on this plane and just getting out, and your whole life was kind of like these goats and these cows and, you know, this mountain, and, like, no cars or anything, and kind of just stepping off and being like, holy fuck! It's huge buildings, he had never seen so many cars, he had never seen so many people, so it was just like a huge experience for him. And they're like, wow, this is amazing. Let's walk around. And so him and his two brothers were walking around, and even then, like, the Bronx, like, they were in the Bronx, and everyone's like, ugh, the Bronx is not even that great, but to them, it was like, it was a whole experience. Like, wow, this is amazing. They are walking around. My mom's telling the story. They're walking around, and a car pulls up next to them, and a white man gets out of the car, and he's like, all right, boys, like, come with me. And they're like, huh? What's that called? Come again? And he's like, come with, get in the car. And what was happening was that my father was being arrested. Him and his two brothers were literally being arrested. They got off the plane, like, 10 hours ago, and they were being arrested because they looked like somebody who had robbed, like, a convenience store nearby. But all of this was really, like, quite lost on them, because they had never even really seen police officers before. But this was happening. And this isn't a story I've ever heard my dad talk about. So I'm looking at him like, you got arrested? Like, what happened? And, you know, they took him to the station, and there was a woman there. So they looked at the whole lineup of people, and they said, nope, it's not any of these guys. And the cop said, thank you very much, and, like, drove them back. But there was no, you know, this wasn't explained. Like, they didn't have any context here. And so, you know, I was looking at my dad at Christmas, and I said, well, like, what happened next, you know? Like, you got arrested your first day here, what happened next? And he said, he looked at me, and he said, well, nothing happened next. You know, it was kind of his way of just saying that, like, this is how life is. This is how life was, and kind of how life is for a lot of people. And that was difficult, you know? That was tough. And, you know, people kept telling stories like this that were just told in such a casual, very casual way. Like, yes, you know, when I was trying to get my first apartment, couldn't get it because I have an accent, but you get your white friend, and they will call, and then, you know, suddenly the apartment is mysteriously free, and everyone's laughing, and it's great, but it's not great, and it's not something that, you know, my family talks about very much. So, you know, if I had to title this story, I would honestly call it, like, Nothing Happens Next. Because this is just an experience that my parents have, and they, you know, they still are having experiences like this today. And, you know, next year is election year, guys, and it's kind of like, well, what happens next? You know, we have all these new immigrants coming, what happens next? What happens next when, you know, we have the Supreme Court voting on important cases? What happens next? And I hope it's not nothing. So, that's my story.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for coming back. Thank you all for coming back. What a fucking stacked lineup tonight.